Chapter 12, All-Seeing Eye, I being the single letter I. Top of chapter quote by Elif Shafak. Love cannot be explained, yet it explains all. I don't offer solutions to what I've described here. People ask for solutions to problems, which invariably lead to more problems in need of solutions. There is another way. When I see a problem, I go in search of the cause. The problem is only the effect, the symptom of something else. What is the something else? What is the cause? If the cause is deleted, then so must be the problem. We must therefore ask the question, what is the cause of the human condition exposed in this book? It is that humans have lost their mind, or more accurately, lost control of their mind. Even more to the point, mind has lost control of itself. A knock-on consequence is a disconnection from the influence and wisdom of expanded 5D awareness that explores infinity beyond the perceptual clutches of the simulation. Lose your mind and you lose yourself. Your true and infinite self, the eternal I. This is the cause we have to remove, and everything else will follow. As the tyranny ends, it must end. When the cause is gone, the tyranny must go with it. The center of the target is the perception of the mind that exists in 4D reality between the simulated 3D projection, including the human body, and 5D and beyond infinite awareness. Everything is the same consciousness in different states of perception and frequency. I made the point earlier that a free and flowing ocean, infinite awareness, is made from the same substance as a block of ice, 4D mind, while their manifestations are so very different. When perceptions divide between 5D and 4D, their frequencies divide too. With that, the influence on mind of expanded awareness and wisdom dissipates through vibrational distance. The simulation was created to trigger that division by focusing the attention of mind in the mental and emotional turmoil and sense of limitation of an illusory 3D reality which mind is unknowingly decoding and projecting. Yes, decoding and projecting its own perceptual prison cell while believing it to be externally and physically real. If you live your life wearing a virtual reality headset 24/7, the information it delivers would become your sense of reality. Mind has been mesmerized, which means, quote, having your attention fixated as though by a spell, fascinated, hypnotized, spellbound, transfixed, end quote. The mind is indeed spellbound. And the spell is the simulation which works on all levels of human reality. There is the simulation in totality, right down to the fine detail of belief and perception. If you're being told all day, every day from multiple sources that the COVID virus exists, it is very difficult to free your mind from that program to sufficiently clear out every lie and deceit. The principle is the same. Even those who have freed their mind of some illusions, like seeing that COVID has been a conspiracy to justify global transformation, are still caught in the light of the oncoming train in other areas through repetition and programming. The overwhelming majority of COVID skepticism operates in the realm of, there is a virus, but it's not as dangerous as they say. The thought that there never has been a virus is too much of a leap for their mind to make. The chasm between the lies and the truth is too enormous to cross, and a halfway house is the result. I'll first use the COVID example to show how minds are manipulated at the micro level and how we can stop being scammed, and then go on to the big picture with how we can free ourselves from the trap in totality. I've had many emails along the same line since I said in early April 2020, there is no SARS-CoV-2 virus that is supposed to cause COVID-19. They say, people are dying from the symptoms of COVID, and if you go on saying that it doesn't exist, it will harm your credibility. They are overwhelmingly nice people who have seen through elements of the hoax, and the emails are mostly respectful. I do not say the following in criticism, only as an observation. Let's deal with the credibility bit first. I don't seek credibility, I seek the truth. They're rarely the same thing. How often have people with views perceived as credible by the great majority of the public turned out to be talking absolute crap? Martin Luther King said, "There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right." End quote. I say that time is all the time. Seeking credibility and not the truth is one of the greatest of all mind deceivers. From this comes the global prison cell called fear of what other people think. Fall for that and your mind belongs to other slaves caught in the simulation, never mind the simulation itself. Pursuing facts and evidence in all their multiple forms must be the goal at all times and at all costs, and speaking the truth as you believe it to be from those facts and evidence. If you don't do that and instead weigh up first what others will think of your truth, the matrix has you. The fear of what others think and seeking credibility for yourself are different ways to say the same thing. Once you edit yourself to fit the beliefs of others, you are no longer you, you are them. Self-censorship is now the real pandemic, as condemnation, abuse, hostility, and ridicule are unleashed on anyone with a different view from the program norms of cult-created groupthink wokery. You can lose your job and career for the mildest of deviations from Big Brother normality and be cast out of the garden by the fake liberals with their wokery, jiggery, pokery, defined as chicanery, subterfuge, and skullduggery. The Black Panther movement used to say, "Scratch a liberal and you'll find a fascist." With today's fake liberals, that is most certainly true. The subterfuge is not even instigated by the woke mentality, which is only a cult simulation program funded and promoted into mass reality through cult-controlled schools, universities, corporations, and governments overseen by global asset management giants like BlackRock and its king of the woke industrial complex, Larry Fink. The woke army of psychological fascists are the mind-controlled, mind-hijacked paramilitary arm of the cult agenda to impose global groupthink and a one-world perceptual state. They are playing their crucial part in the plan for a technological hive mind through an AI connection to the human brain, which will end all human thought and emotion as we know it. "Hate anti-vaxxers," cry their cult masters. "Yes, hate them, silence them," the wokers scream. "Hate Russians," cry their cult masters. "Yes, hate them, silence them," the wokers scream. Woke is another religion in which you must hate and destroy blasphemers. What level of insanity is necessary to see a tyrannical Russian leader invade another country and then for his actions ban Russian orchestra conductors, authors, participants in cat shows, and teams in virtual reality sports games? What madness is required to ban Russian vodka, not even made in Russia, or rename cocktails with Russian in the title? I'll still have a white Russian, thanks, if that's okay. And, by the way, even if it's not. But then they renamed French fries Freedom Fries when the French government refused to take part in the 2003 invasion of Iraq, in which untold numbers died, ongoing catastrophe was visited upon the Middle East, and all was based on a lie about weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. See COVID. Much of the human population has always been childlike. It's just more obvious and extreme now. Most people rarely say what they believe if it differs from groupthink, unless they are among those they know are safe. Otherwise, every last word is watched and processed for its unintentional and ludicrously interpreted connotation that you are racist, sexist, ageist, or transphobic. Before long, in an effort to salvage some self-respect from this spineless submission to tyranny, people persuade themselves that they are not submitting to tyranny at all. They are only doing what they believe is right. At this point, your knowing submission to 2 plus 2 equals 5 becomes a belief in 2 plus 2 equals 5. Your short and curlies are now in the iron grip of woke insanity, which is only a projection of cult insanity and matrix insanity. Another part of your mind is not yours. Cult control of the global web of governments, corporations, media, and institutions of society mean they walk and talk as one unit in their imposition of, quote, values. These values are nothing more than weapons of control employed by those so devoid of values that they would not know one if it bit them on the arse. Anti-racism is the cry of racists. Anti-sexism is the cry of sexists. And equity is the cry of those who despise equality of rights and opportunity. Equity does not mean equality, as in equality of opportunity. It means law-imposed racial and sexual bias, which is a patronizing insult to minorities and women. It is an expression of what I've heard called cosmetic diversity. This is when you have diversity only of skin color and sexuality, while ensuring that all your appointments, whether black, brown, gay, or straight, have the same opinion. It's all a scam to push an agenda through cosmetic diversity while destroying real diversity, diversity of view and opinion. Woke's critical race theory is pure racism, which insists that we accept the following premise. White people equal racists. Black people equal victims. One is racism, while the other patronizes and disempowers black people and tells them they must define their lives by what white people do, say, and think. This, we are told to believe, is the behavior of anti-racists who care about black people. Wetiko Yaldabaoth is a state of consciousness inversion, and so, therefore, is the simulation that imposes its will. Everything is upside down, back to front, turned over, flipped and reversed. We don't deal with this by submitting to it. We do that by refusing to play a part in its integration into normality. Anyone is going to tell me what to believe, what I can and cannot say, and what my perceptions of everything must be. A bunch of psychopaths and prats are going to impose this, and I am going to let them? Not a chance, ever, in all eternity. Deleting fear of what others think, of what we say, do, and believe is the first base of taking your mind back from the simulation and its architects and operatives. Without this first step, there can be no other steps. At all levels of mind, the answer comes down to self-respect. Do we have the self-respect to insist on reaching our own conclusions and sense of reality? Or have we so little respect for ourselves that we allow others to tell us what to think and whether we think at all? Once we concede self-respect by submitting to tyranny and madness, only submission remains. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I cannot conceive of a greater loss than the loss of one's self-respect." End quote. But, as he also said, and this is the point, they cannot take away our self-respect if we do not give it to them. End quote. Here lies the key to freedom. Self-respect will never bow to tyranny. Every tyranny in all history is the result of self-respect being conceded by the masses, and every tyranny has been overthrown by those who refuse to give it away. Fascism is not imposed by fascists. It is imposed by the population conceding its self-respect to fascists who disrespect freedom and diversity of view. You can't have self-respect if you meekly accept disrespect. The few have always controlled the many for a simple, ever-repeating reason. The many give their power to the few through acquiescence, which is the result of deleted self-respect. The whole system of top-down control is founded on imposition by the few and acquiescence by the many. At the top of national and global pyramids is the inner core of the cult, and you would get their number in a single room. They impose their will, their agenda, on the next level, which acquiesces to that will and imposes the same on the level below them. So it continues all the way down the pyramid. Imposition, acquiescence, imposition, acquiescence. A very few levels below the cult inner core, you are already dealing with people who have no idea there even is a cult or an agenda. The sequence continues on the basis of doing what your perceived superiors tell you without question or resistance. Eventually, you reach the mass of the people at the foot of the pyramid. And if they acquiesce to the levels that impose upon them government and law enforcement, a circuit of imposition acquiescence is completed, which allows the will of the cult inner core to prevail nationally and globally. In this way, and only in this way, a handful at the top dictate the fine detail of billions of lives and the direction of human society. This is exactly what has happened, so obviously, in the COVID years. If ever there was an example of removing the cause to delete the problem. This is it. And the antidote is self-respect. Unquestioning acquiescence is the cause, and that is what has to stop to remove the problem. If we return to those emails about my contention that there is no COVID virus, we can explore further how persistent and repeating propaganda can divert even awakening minds. An email from one man said he was hearing people say that their friend or dad or brother-in-law or whoever have been very, very ill and indeed died. He said that the main things people who had COVID mentioned were that they were terribly tired, they lost their sense of smell and taste, they felt terrible. Okay, but this is where the psychology of propaganda comes in. The mind has to be cleared of that, with no preconceived idea through which repetition can program conscious and subconscious perception. The mind has to open to all possibility and cast out, exorcise, the programming. This is my blank sheet of paper method that I have written about in other books. Nothing goes on that paper, literally or symbolically, unless it earns its place. In this example, people who claim to have COVID said they felt terribly tired, lost their sense of smell and taste, and felt terrible. How do they know that is caused by COVID? Shit! How long would it take a proper doctor to list all the conditions with those symptoms? If COVID had never been mentioned, would they say the symptoms were caused by a new condition? No! They would have explained them away by other familiar means, including flu, which disappeared worldwide once the COVID hoax was played. How can a condition just disappear virtually overnight? I've seen idiot journalists say that flu instantly demanifested because of lockdown, social distancing, and masks. Why did that stop flu with its flu-like symptoms and not COVID with its flu-like symptoms? Flu did not disappear. It was re-diagnosed COVID-19 to give the illusion that a new virus existed when it didn't. How could that be? Surely too many people would have to be in on the conspiracy. No, no. The few at the top of the medical pyramids take orders from the cult. Those few tell the rest of the medical profession what to do. And the medics do what they're told, not least to protect their careers and salary. Witness the number of doctors and nurses who spoke out and are no longer doctors and nurses for doing so. The whole system is founded on lies and deceit and people acquiescing to the lies and deceit. How amazing that when the devastating effects on health of the COVID fake vaccines appeared and included the heart inflammation condition myocarditis, this suddenly became a symptom of COVID. Funny they never mentioned it before. How many doctors must know this is a lie but stay stumm? Almost all of them. COVID has shown us clearly and unequivocally that if you want to see someone without a spine, then, with a few honourable exceptions, find yourself a doctor. I remember having flu a long time ago and other conditions over the years that made me feel terribly tired, lose my sense of smell and taste, and feel terrible. COVID is a virus of the mind. If you are told there is a potentially deadly illness with flu-like symptoms circulating and killing lots of people, your imagination is going to run riot. It's a placebo in reverse. Tell someone the drink you just gave them was poisoned, or that you've realized the food they just ate was 5 weeks past its use-by date, and see what happens. They will begin to respond as if their body is being affected when the drink was not poisoned and you bought the food fresh this morning. The mind is running the whole show, and what the mind believes it will manifest. Gandhi again, quote, "A man is but the product of his thoughts. What he thinks, he becomes," end quote. This is true on every level, with every perception, and is the whole foundation of the simulation modus operandi. A dose of flu becomes the worst I've ever felt. That COVID is so bad. I am saying that the body is in the mind, and what the mind believes and feels, the body will reflect. The cult knows this and is constantly telling you to fear this threat and that threat to health and life. They come like machine gun fire these days. COVID is immediately and seamlessly followed by the invasion of Ukraine by Klaus Schwab school graduate Putin and the threat of nuclear war. These are not coincidences. They're moves on the cult chessboard. We have seen with COVID the power of suggestion to ensnare perception in the frequency of fear and entrap the mind in a fantasy reality, believing in a threat that isn't there. What you believe you perceive and what you perceive you experience, even though the perceptions are garbage. Question everything, including what I say, and make your own conclusions. This is true freedom, true sovereignty, that frees the mind from programmed reality. If anyone still believes the virus exists, here are some whys for their mind to consider. Why, if there is a real infectious agent, do they need to test for it with a test not testing for it? Why would they have to fix the test to produce the illusion of cases that aren't cases? How can an infectious agent produce no symptoms in large numbers of people, the so-called asymptomatic, who are asymptomatic because there is nothing wrong with them? A real deadly virus would do its thing without any help from propagandists. Drug company Roche added this warning to the PCR test that it distributes, quote, "not intended for use as an aid in the diagnosis of coronavirus infection for research use only, not for use in diagnostic procedures," end quote. Another company, Creative Diagnostics, says of the PCR test, quote, "for research purposes only, not for use in diagnostic procedures," end quote. This is the test for, quote, COVID infection that has produced the overwhelming majority of alleged cases worldwide. PCR has produced positives for COVID from samples of pawpaw fruit, a goat, a puddle, and cola. Then you have the lateral flow test. They're testing for antibodies. Yeah, but what antibodies? They're nonspecific. I mentioned that at least 60 other conditions produced antibodies alleged to be HIV. It's the same when you hear that a, quote, vaccine triggered an immune response. Put any old shite in the body and you'll get an immune response. That's what the immune system does when faced with shite. It responds. A lateral flow test positive has been considered so potentially inaccurate, even by the authorities, that they have had to be confirmed by a PCR test, not testing for the virus. Why, if you have a real pathogen, a real virus, do you have to introduce the insane policy that if people test positive with a test not testing for the virus and die within 28 days of any other cause, gunshot wounds, falling down the stairs, hit by a bus, motorcycle accident, then COVID-19 goes on your death certificate? If you had a real pathogen, that would simply do what it does. A deadly virus would kill people. Why do you have to scam death certificates en masse to make it appear that people are dying of COVID-19 when they're not? An NHS doctor in the UK said that from around March 2020, all the other doctors he knew were putting COVID-19 on death certificates, no matter what people really died from. And what does that say about the spineless compliance of doctors? The media announces that we have reached new milestones of COVID deaths when it's all a lie. Why, if you have a real pathogen, do you have to give American hospitals big financial incentives to diagnose COVID-19? They have been paid since the fake pandemic began $4,600 for diagnosing regular pneumonia, $13,000 for diagnosing the same symptoms as COVID-19 pneumonia, and $39,000 for putting a COVID-diagnosed patient on a ventilator that will almost certainly kill them. If you have a real virus and a real COVID-19, why do you have to do that? Why, in the spring of 2020, did the British government and its health secretary, Matt Hancock, manufacture the, quote, first wave of COVID through the end-of-life drug midazolam, which is used by some American states in the execution process? Hancock ordered fantastic amounts of midazolam, which was then given in unprecedented amounts with morphine to old people in care homes. This happened at a time when COVID rules banned their loved ones from seeing them, and do not resuscitate DNR orders were being imposed on them like confetti. DNR orders were also placed on the mentally and physically handicapped in good old Nazi fashion. Many thousands of elderly people died as a result of this mass murder. Hancock and his fellow psychopaths called this the first wave of COVID to terrify the population into obeying lockdown rules. See the iconic documentary, A Good Death? Which exposed this scandal. A well-known side effect of midazolam is respiratory distress. And when old people died because they couldn't breathe, COVID-19 went on the death certificate. Why do you have to do that to manufacture a COVID first wave if you had a real pathogen? Why did the mass killer Anthony Fauci and the American authorities have to generate the illusion of a US first wave of COVID with a drug called remdesivir, foisted upon the medical profession for the treatment of anyone in hospital testing positive with a test not testing for the virus? Once remdesivir is delivered, you are a dead man or woman walking. Not that you would be able to walk. Remdesivir causes multiple organ failures, particularly kidney failure, which leads to the abdominal cavity and lungs filling with water. Fauci well knew this. Studies had been done to confirm these consequences. What did he care? He's a psycho. And he needed an illusory first wave for his masters. Tens of thousands of old people were murdered by Fauci and the cult-owned state, with COVID-19 as their fake cause of death. Why are any of these things necessary if there is a real virus? Those that say there is have to answer that question. And those that want to free their mind must ask questions constantly to make all narratives justify themselves. The big question every time is, cui bono, who benefits? Who benefits from me believing what authority is telling me to believe? If the answer is that authority and the cult agenda benefits, then that alone speaks for itself. Who benefited from COVID? Who benefits from war, chaos, fear, and upheaval? See what I mean? COVID-19 is a monumental global scam based on a fake test and fake death certificates secured through re-diagnosis of other conditions such as flu and pneumonia as COVID. This is why so many old people have died from COVID. Old people die. It's a consequence of being old. Young people don't die at anything like the same rate. With old people, you have limitless potential for redesignating what they really died from as COVID-19. The average age of death in England is about 80 for men and 83 for women. The average age of death from alleged COVID is between 82 and 83. Younger people did not begin dying in numbers until the fake vaccine was available. Before that, hardly any younger people or children were claimed to have died from COVID. There was simply not enough of them dying from anything for re-diagnosis to COVID. And so old people were the first wave, helped along by midazolam and remdesivir. The overwhelming majority of people who have died from COVID had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or more what they call comorbidities, reasons to die. You remember the COVID crisis in Italy, which was instigated to terrify the West into lockdown compliance and tyranny. Once that propaganda had done its psychological job, Professor Walter Ricciardi, scientific advisor to the Italian Minister of Health, said that COVID death rates were due to Italy having the second oldest population in the world and to how hospitals record deaths. Quote, "The way in which we code deaths in our country is very generous in the sense that all the people who die in hospitals with coronavirus are deemed to be dying of the coronavirus. And the ones in hospital with, quote, coronavirus are the ones who've tested positive with a test not testing for it." Ricciardi said that after re-evaluation by the National Institutes of Health, only 12% of death certificates confirmed a direct causality from coronavirus. How did they know even the 12% was correct? They tested positive with a test not testing for the virus. Italian authorities revealed that 99% of those who died from COVID had at least one comorbidity. The same theme can be found across the world. Even the mainstream media eventually had to acknowledge the difference between dying from COVID and dying with COVID, dying from another condition while testing positive with a test not testing for the virus. Either way, whether from or with, both were added to the COVID death numbers. The manipulation and corruption of COVID cases and deaths has been breathtaking. And everyone involved, from the cult inner core to the compilation of data, are guilty of crimes against humanity for the consequences of what they've done. Add to those all the doctors, nurses, health management, chief medical officers, politicians, and media who went along with a narrative they must have known was fraudulent. If they claim they didn't, they lack the basic intelligence necessary to competently do any of those jobs. They were still at it in 2022, when authorities had to admit that those reported to be in hospital with COVID were admitted for other problems, including broken legs, cancer, whatever, and tested positive with a test not testing for the virus when they arrived. My God, these people are so sick. Not the patients, the psychopaths and gutless that played their essential parts in the deceit. We've had the calculated diversion story about the virus being released from a top-level bio lab in Wuhan, either by accident or on purpose. The first theory has appeared in the mainstream media, and the second has been encompassed by almost the entirety of the alternative. The accident theory can be dismissed immediately on the grounds that evidence abounds from so many directions and sources that the COVID hoax was planned for at least decades. The cult's World Economic Forum and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation ran a simulation called Event 201 of a coronavirus pandemic only weeks before the real thing began out of cult-owned China. The Schwab-Gates simulated scenario played out worldwide from early 2020, even down to mass censorship of any challenge to the cult-owned World Health Organization narrative. The Rockefeller Foundation published a document in 2010 headed Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, which included an imaginary, right, epidemic of a virulent and deadly influenza strain that infected 20% of the global population. The Rockefeller scenario predicted destroyed economies, closed shops, offices, and other businesses, and strict rules imposed by authoritarian governments with mandatory face masks and body temperature checks. You can read the detail about both preemptive scenarios in The Answer and Perceptions of a Renegade Mind. The Wuhan lab accident story therefore asks us to believe that even though the hoax was long planned, they forgot the virus and had to wait around until at some point one was released by accident. Yep, sounds credible. This leaves us only with the release by design theory. Anthony Fauci's operation in America admits part funding so-called gain of function research at the Wuhan lab to make the virus more effective against humans. This appears to be an open and shut gotcha. Well, hold on a second. Fauci is a psychopath, but he's also not the brightest man ever to walk the earth, and the whole global industry of virology is founded on an unproven nonsense. Let us not forget the father of modern virology was Thomas Milton Rivers, employed by the cult-owned Rockefellers to head the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, now Rockefeller University, between 1937 and 1956. This included the period in the 1950s when John Enders was developing his ridiculous technique for establishing the existence and cellular impact of a virus. The same Rockefeller family established Big Pharma Medicine, which is now so founded on viruses and vaccines to respond to viruses. Everything today is a virus. Have you noticed? The whole thing is a scam, developed over decades. The Rockefellers further established the World Health Organization in 1948, as part of the United Nations, which has its headquarters in New York, built on land given free by Rockefeller largesse. The role of the WHO was to control global health policy under one roof, completed with the Plan New Treaty, and the operation is now overseen for the Rockefellers and the cult by their gopher Bill Gates, who controls the policy through funding. Gates installed the shockingly corrupt Tedros as Director General, who had worked for Gates-funded organizations to prove he was corrupt enough to qualify for the job. The Rockefellers also own Fauci. The whole virus scenario has been manufactured. But that does not mean that laboratories and virologists know that. For a start, they are ignorant enough to believe that their identification process for a virus is credible and not stupendously insane. They may well be working to create more sinister concoctions they call viruses. It doesn't mean they've managed to do that, and nor that it ended up as SARS-CoV-2. Neither am I saying that these labs are not seeking to develop pathogens to harm humans. I'm sure they are. What I'm talking about here are viruses. We are also asked to believe that the Chinese planned to release a virus and didn't want the world to know. Nevertheless, they accepted money from Fauci's operation with a paper trail that someone was bound to locate. And to hide where the virus came from, they released it down the street from the Wuhan lab. I saw an interview with the psychopath CEO of Moderna, accepting the possibility that the virus was accidentally leaked from the Wuhan lab. What more confirmation does anyone need that the whole alleged scenario is a smokescreen and diversion to hide the real truth? There is no virus. Then there is the most basic question. If they release the deadly virus, where the hell is it? Fake tests, fake death certificates, fake data, midazolam, remdesivir, financial incentives for diagnosis, where is it? The common denominator between the accident and on-purpose stories is this: the virus exists. The cult is not too bothered why you believe there is a virus, natural accident or design, so long as you do believe there is one. When you do so, everyone is agreed that there is something to be dealt with and responded to. People may differ on the means and the dangers, but they communally agree there is a problem of some kind. Once you realize there never has been a virus, the house of cards doth fall. I would say to everyone, and especially the alternative media in this case, to be very careful when being told what you want to hear. The cult has a technique that I call designer manipulation. They know that while most people will believe their mendacious narrative, a gathering number will not. They are looking for other explanations. The cult says, okay, they are looking for a conspiracy, so we'll give them one. We'll just make it the wrong conspiracy. I've highlighted the COVID hoax in the final chapter about freeing the mind for a good reason. It involves every element and technique of mind control at the micro level. We have a virus never shown to exist that has transformed the world with many of the effects that it set in train still to be known. There's the mass psychological effect on babies and children for a start, and the reproductive implications for them and adults of the fake vaccines. We've only seen the tip so far of what the COVID years have done to the human mind and world. We can already see the impact on freedom and finance, and we've seen nothing yet. This has all been made possible not by a virus, but belief in a virus. That is stunning in itself. Freeing the mind means understanding the methodology of keeping it enslaved. Almost everyone bought the global lie about the virus in some form, and then billions rolled up their sleeves to accept what the fake virus was really all about, the fake vaccine. This abomination is produced by the cult-owned and created Big Pharma cartel, with its horrific record of callous disregard for human health and well-being, which has led to record-breaking fines running to billions of dollars. COVID fake vaccine producer Pfizer is right up there with the worst. Pfizer has been hit since only the year 2000, with fines totaling at least £7.5 billion. This figure includes £331.5 million for kickbacks and bribery offences, £1.1 billion for false claims, and in 2009, a record-breaking £1.7 billion for the fraudulent promotion of a painkiller since withdrawn. The same Pfizer has sought with its cult cohorts at the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, to secure court agreement to delay the full release of its fake vaccine trial data for 75 years. When it failed to do so, extraordinary fake vaccine death and injury revelations followed, as I highlighted earlier. At the same time, Pfizer is a massive sponsor of mainstream TV shows, including News and Current Affairs, and they are going to expose their paymasters for the evil that they do. Vaccine maker Johnson & Johnson is facing thousands of lawsuits in America over cancer-causing baby powder containing asbestos. J&J knew this was happening and kept the truth from regulators. The psychopaths even considered setting up a subsidiary to take the financial hit, which they then planned to avoid by bankrupting that company. J&J vaccine anyone? You know you can trust them. All these psychopathic killing machines have immunity from prosecution for all the mass death and life destruction their fake vaccines are causing. But hey, anti-vaxxers are just selfish and paranoid for not taking a fake vaccine produced by psychopathic expressions of pure evil. Even by their grotesquely manipulated data and narrative fraud, massively more fake vaccinated people have gone on to, quote, get COVID than the unfake vaccinated. Public Health Scotland Stop publishing deaths by fake vaccine status to stop the truth being used by anti-vaxxers. You can see why when in the 4 weeks to February the 4th, 2022, there were 478 alleged deaths with or from COVID in Scotland, and 417 of the 478, 87%, were fully fake vaccinated. Of course, this is irrelevant either way. Whether you get COVID or not is nothing to do with catching a disease. It's only whether you tested positive with a test not testing for it. The point is that even by their own lies and criteria, the fake vaccines don't work, and billions have unconsciously and unquestioningly had multiple jabs purely on the say-so of psychopathic and mendacious authority. What's the real reason for the fake vaccines? I've covered that already. Depopulation and genetic transformation for those that survive. How have they pulled it off? Human naivety, which is always, in the end, a death sentence. Understanding the techniques of perception manipulation is vital in preparation for the next manufactured pandemic, which is coming. The coordinated easing of COVID restrictions in many countries from February 2022 was immediately followed by more fear porn with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Fascism in the name of health has not gone away and is planned to return in another form when all the passports will kick back in. By then, they want to dismantle free speech even further to stop the next pandemic being exposed as this one was for those who could lift their eyes from mainstream sources. COVID has, in many ways, been a precursor for something even more extreme, not least to cover up the deaths from self-replicating material in fake vaccines, expanding in the bodies of the fake vaccinated, not fortunate enough this far to have had the saline vials. Psychopath Bill Gates told the Munich Security Conference in February 2022, quote, "We'll have another pandemic. It will be a different pathogen next time," end quote. You get the picture. The COVID hoax has offered so many lessons in freeing the mind from cult programs. Humanity must stop being in awe of experts in medicine, science, academia, and other fields. Most of them are not experts at all. They are programmed to believe that everything is a certain way, and there are financial incentives and career imperatives to think what they are told to think, believe what they are told to believe, and tell the public what they are told to tell them. If we have not learned that from COVID, then will we ever? The health profession has been an absolute disgrace and killed and maimed unimaginable numbers of people by doing what their few superiors at the top of the cult-controlled hierarchy order them to do. Even many doctors with a smear of brain cell activity that it takes to see through the lie have said they can't speak out or their careers would be over. Such gutless cowardice and self-obsession is utterly shameful. How many children and adults have died as a result and will go on doing so? How many lives have been destroyed? Proper doctors, nurses, and scientists, how few of them there seem to be, have been horrified by what they have witnessed and lost their careers for saying so. At least they can view the mirror every morning without averting their eyes. I've met many doctors long before COVID who I would not trust to diagnose acne. Two TV doctors come to mind immediately on UK television, called Dr. Hilary Jones and Dr. Amir Khan. Walking into a surgery and seeing either of them sitting there should trigger a stampede for the exit. These shockingly uninformed script-reading clowns and their like have been telling the global public that what governments and medical hierarchies say is true. The great unwashed must believe what authority says as unquestioned fact. As cult-owned Jacinda Ardern said while turning New Zealand fascist, quote, "Unless you hear it from us, it's not the truth," end quote. Anyone who has another view is putting lives at risk. Oh, the irony. The blood on their hands does not bear thinking about. I could fill a book with the idiocy of Dr. Amir Khan. He told a concerned woman that the fake vaccine does not affect your fertility. To say so was misinformation. He had no idea what effect the fake vaccines have on anything. No proper trials have been done, and no long-term trials at all. And the dramatic increase in fertility cycle problems and miscarriages are just another coincidence, are they? The man's an idiot. A dangerous one. Ask yourself, would any of these doctors, scientists, and academics be allowed on television and be quoted in the mainstream media if they were not parroting the official story? Look at the almost unimaginable levels of censorship against medical and scientific professionals with a different view that include Dr. Robert Malone, who was deleted from social media for warning about the dangers of the mRNA technique that he helped to create. Any expert on anything that you see in the mainstream media today is a repeater of the official narrative, or they would not be there. They will be telling you what the cult and its authority hierarchy want you to believe, and that's all. That's it. They are a mixture of the corrupt, programmed, clueless, and outright psychopathic. The same is true of the ever-clamoring bevy of celebrities, virtue signaling their self-righteous, integrity-deleted ignorance, and twittering their support for every cult party line, whatever the subject. They know their careers would be damaged or destroyed if they didn't. What celebs tell you, with pathetically few exceptions, is what their cult owners want you to believe. What would have happened to Elton John and the cult arse-licking celebrity rabble had they said, "Don't have the jab," instead of urging fake vaccine compliance with all the consequences for so many that they convinced? We know the answer from the experience of the tiny number of famous names who have challenged or even questioned that deadly orthodoxy. The mainstream media, with its plummeting audiences, increasingly relies on government-funded advertising, propaganda, and bailouts to survive. Freedom of Information Act requests established that almost the entire American mainstream took money from the Biden administration to promote the fake vaccines. These included conservative outlets whose audiences were instinctively suspicious of them. People who genuinely seek the truth need to consult other sources outside the mainstream. Why does anyone think those sources are so targeted for deletion by the mainstream? Even then, we as individuals must decide what our truth is, no matter what the source. Remember, the cult technique is inversion. Turn everything these people say on its head and you'll be much closer to what is really going on. Look at the COVID years from this perspective And you see that this inversion is exactly what has happened. Measures, masks, and jabs to protect your health have systematically destroyed health, both bodily and psychologically. It is indeed all psychological if you go deep enough. This is why COVID policies have been driven by behavioral psychologists, most obviously in the UK, through the part government-owned Behavioral Insights Team, and cold people like Professor Susan Mikey, who, when not advising the government on manipulating public psychology, is a leading light in the British Communist Party. We now come to freeing the mind at the macro level, as in freeing ourselves from the simulation itself. The same approach applies here, in that we must stop leaving the big questions to these programmed, clueless, psychopathic experts. I mean these questions. Who are we? Where are we? What is this reality we call the world? The mind trickery that connects education with intelligence means that people hand over responsibility for these big questions once again to those they perceive to be experts and clever. What does that mean? What constitutes an expert? In the public mind, that means they have been academically successful at school and university and now have a fancy title like professor or principal research scientist. Okay, so what does being successful at school and university really involve? Telling the exam paper what the system has told you to believe is reality. That is an expert's education in a single sentence. And the same process continues when they enter their chosen speciality, where they must conform to orthodoxy or be shown the door. My son Jamie was advised not to question global warming in his school exam, or he wouldn't pass, even though his teacher said privately that he had sympathy with that view. The cult system lies to you and uses its army of experts to lie and deceive on its behalf. This doesn't mean there are not clever people called professor or principal research scientist. There are, and they are invariably the mavericks. The point is that they don't have to be clever, and certainly not wise. Most, yes, most are not. My heart sinks in the COVID years when someone is introduced as a professor. You just know that complete garbage, and the official line, is about to spew forth. And why do we leave such people to decide who we are and where we are? It's crazy. And a central pillar in the gulag of the mind. Another point is how the academic mentality is obsessed with complexity. Its perceptual programming cannot conceive that the big answers to the big questions could be anything except complex. The opposite is the case, more inversion, if you look to the foundations of reality and don't become mesmerized by the outward appearance of complexity. True genius is not to understand complexity. It is to see the simple hidden by the illusion of complexity. If it's complicated, it's not the truth. It's obscuring the truth, which is always simple at its core. On the macro level of mind enslavement, the same experts largely prevail. Cult-driven and funded science sells the nonsense about a physical world and a belief that the eye is the body, brain, and human. Fraudulent and perception-programmed mainstream scientists constantly tell us what the cult wants us to believe to entrap us in the simulation. We are only our five senses, and that's all. What you see, touch, smell, taste, and hear is not only the world, it is you, all of you. I've emphasized that the bottom line essential is to focus attention of the mind in the simulation to such an extent that a disconnection from 5D awareness is secured. Once that happens, there is, to 4D mind, only the simulation in all its forms, whether in illusory physicality or on the reincarnation recycling loop. Slavery or freedom comes down to self-identity and perception, and we come again to the central point of finding the cause to delete the effect. The cause of mind subjugation and limitation is self-identity subjugation and limitation. Who do you believe that you are? Who do you live that you are? Your body, name, race, religion, sex, sexuality, income bracket, and politics? Then the matrix has you, and you are its vassal and vessel. You will remain in its clutches until you free your perception from what is simply a perceptual trap. This is all that the simulation is. The trap is a perceptual trap, and who controls our perception if we make that choice? We do. It is time to encompass that realization and make that choice. Are you illusory flesh, or a unique expression of infinite awareness, ultimately infinite awareness in its eternal entirety? The major symbol of the Wetiko cult is the single eye, or all-seeing eye, that you see on the dollar bill and the reverse of the Great Seal of the cult-established United States. The answer to the all-seeing eye is the all-seeing I, the singular I, me, you. To remember what we have been manipulated to forget, who we really are, which is infinity itself. The cult I symbol is supposed to portray the omnipotent power of its Wetiko Yaldabaoth Satan master. To me, the symbol means that in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Wetiko is not omnipotent. It is a weakling. Its power comes from manipulating humans to give away their power. Wetiko operates in a tiny box of perceived reality. Consciousness, in its disconnected, inverted, and chaotic state, must always do so. It has prevailed this far only by entrapping humanity in an even smaller box. Compared with the two-eyed, third-eyed humanity connected with its true self, the all-powerful Wetiko is but a fly on an elephant's back. The human mind was once 5D awareness and beyond. It self-identified with being infinite freedom, the eternity that is love. Fear and duality were unknown emotions and concepts. What is fear? What is duality when all is one? From that 5D self-identity and awareness is generated the high-frequency state that secures a place in high-frequency reality. Your vibration reflects what you are and believe yourself to be. Humanity, as that consciousness is now known, lived in the biblical garden or paradise. Then the schism came, to target the harmony and draw aspects of that consciousness into the duality of good and evil, the simulated bad copy of prime reality Earth. The copy digitally reflected prime Earth to begin with, and this aided the trickery and enticement. Aspects of 5D awareness fell down the octaves into a state we call mind, and this is symbolized by Adam and Eve and their experience with the serpent. Consciousness left the garden of 5D and became 4D and then lower 4D mind that would be fed a simulated reality that became ever less a copy of Prime Earth and ever more an expression of the schismatic inversion, luring minds deeper into its lair. The frequency continued to fall into greater density, and minds became so addicted to the sensations of the five senses that returning to the physical realm over and over was the equivalent of cocaine for the mind. The body was the decoded holographic projection of an illusory vehicle that mind believed it was in, when all was mind decoding the simulation in every aspect, including the body. The simulation is a headset for the mind and dictates the reality and self-identity of minds that succumb to these illusions. The Gnostic Nag Hammadi Apocryphon of John says, quote, "And they steered the people who had followed them into great troubles by leading them astray with many deceptions. They, the people, became old without having enjoyment. They died not having found truth and without knowing the God of truth. And thus the whole creation became enslaved forever from the foundation of the world until now. And they took women and begot children out of the darkness according to the likeness of their spirit. And they closed their hearts, and they hardened themselves through the hardness of the counterfeit spirit until now." End quote. Separation from the influence, even awareness of 5D, quote, home, made minds increasingly misguided and stupid. They worshipped gods that were no more than their enslavers and believed that only the physical world they perceived existed in each new incarnation. Whole armies of minds called scientists and academics were programmed to confirm that the illusion was real, like the prisoners in Plato's cave becoming experts on the shadows cast on the wall. The sense of apartness in five-sense reality produced the fault lines through which minds could be divided and set at war with themselves, while the simulation and simulators controlled all sides. Out-of-body minds believed they were entering an afterlife or heaven, from which they had to return to the physical to learn lessons, evolve, and escape the cycle. The simulators had no intention to allow such escape, and every mind that returns home to 5D is considered a failure and disaster. What is the difference between 5D consciousness before the fall and 4D mind afterwards? Self-identity. That's it. In a nutshell, in brief, in short, in sum, compactly, concisely, crisply, curtly, pithily, succinctly. Self-identity. How did we get into this mess? Self-identity. How do we get out of it? Self-identity. We stop identifying with body, mind, or even soul, and we identify with being the spirit of the all that is, the true and infinite I. Do that, and we will connect with it, and everything changes. Mind has been manipulated to self-identify with the body and, yes, even the soul, which is the mind's perceived vehicle in an out-of-body simulation state. Soul is another illusion. There is only a point of attention within infinite awareness, which can be anything from infinity itself to the old lady with the Zimmer frame struggling to the store and waiting to die. Soul perceives the ring pass not. Infinity knows it's not there. Each point of attention is a self-identity, and each self-identity is a frequency, until you are so absorbed into infinite identity that the realm of frequency is no more. Human consciousness went the other way and fell down the frequencies into simulated illusion. Our challenge is to go back again by reversing what brought us here, self-identity. Gnostics rightly said that the body is a prison, and it is a perceptual prison, a self-identity prison. The bodily sense of limitation, the soul too, becomes the frequency of limitation, which becomes isolation from the true I, hence lost soul. Woke's obsession with the minute I of self-identity, in which race and chosen sexual preference dictates the sense of the I, is all manipulation to ensnare the self in ever denser perceptual myopia, to be followed by absorption into AI that will dictate identity from then on. Self-identity is not a concept or an intellectual talking point. For identity to impact upon frequency, it must be lived. It must be. It is not a thinking, nor even a believing. It is a being, a knowing. Every wave, every particle lives and breathes the true I. We can acknowledge our body and the world of our senses as an experience, while at all times being and knowing that we are infinite awareness, having the experience in a realm of illusion, delusion, and trickery. We may be in this world, but we must never be of it. To be of it is to be controlled by its fantasies and fairy tales. I said of the K experience that it cleared me of self-identity with a 15-year-old boy who was simply experiencing a snapshot of infinity. I am infinite, eternal awareness. David Icke is only a brief experience in the infinity of forever. We must stop being in awe of experts, and instead be in awe of ourselves and who we really are. The very thought of this self-identity revolution has Watiko in a frenzy of panic. This state of being, of self-identity, is what it has spent every illusory second of its illusory simulation seeking to prevent. Watiko knows that when these waters break in the mind, the umpire is calling the end of the game. The crowd leaves the stadium, and Watiko goes with them. Lights out. Move along now to infinite exploration. Nothing to see here anymore. To overcome the illusions and influence of the simulation, we must acknowledge at all times that it is a simulation. This is so important to perceptual freedom. Subliminal inserts in advertisements, movies, and TV are communicating to the subconscious. The simulation does the same. Subliminal means below threshold, below the perceptual threshold of the conscious level of mind. The conscious level doesn't see the inserts, while the subconscious absorbs everything. Subliminals trigger responses in the subconscious, which filter through to the conscious as what people believe are their own thoughts, opinions, and insights. I've shown in other books how once the conscious mind is made aware of a subliminal insert, its impact is negated. You can look at a picture and not see the subliminal, but when it is pointed out, the insert is the first thing you see every time you view the picture from then on. The subconscious has been made conscious and ceases to subliminally influence. The more we hold in conscious and subconscious awareness that we are experiencing a simulation, the less and less it will influence our perceptions and sense of reality. I know how many love being out in the, quote, natural world, and so do I. The point is, it's not the natural world. It's a digital copy of it. We can still enjoy its beauty, like enjoying an amazing work of art, while pondering on how much more beautiful and magical must be its prime state in 5D reality. The natural world communicates in ways that follow the techniques of the simulation. And that is bound to be the case when animals, insects, birds, trees, and nature in general are part of the simulation in the same way that the human body is. They use electricity and electromagnetism and sound waves to communicate, locate, and identify. Bees buzz to trigger a frequency that makes plants release pollen in a process called buzz pollination. Dr. Suzanne Simard at Canada's University of British Columbia found that trees transmit warnings with chemical electrical signals through fungal networks under the soil. Miles of these networks have been discovered in just a small amount of forest soil, and they operate like fiber optic internet cables in a system known as the Wood Wide Web. Michael Pollan, an author and researcher specializing in these subjects, said of trees and plants, quote, "They have ways of taking all the sensory data they gather in their everyday lives, integrate it, and then behave in an appropriate way in response. And they do this without brains, which in a way is what's incredible about it, because we automatically assume you need a brain to process information." End quote. What you need is a receiver transmission system, which is inbuilt in all aspects of the simulation and its electrical communication network. You can enjoy a movie while knowing it's a movie, and you can enjoy the simulation and its natural world while knowing it's a holographic movie. I have experienced moments walking through forests and elsewhere when I've seen the hologram, as everything morphed into extreme 3D, like looking through those old 3D Viewmasters when they present the same image to each eye to generate the effect. It's quite a sight. I can still appreciate the beauty of the scene while knowing it's a simulated holographic illusion. Keeping the simulation literally in mind, along with the awareness that you are an expression of infinite consciousness, stops the matrix controlling your sense of self and reality. The subliminal becomes conscious and loses its impact. The vibrational effect on the energetic fabric of the simulation is incalculable. When enough minds remember their true identity and live it, know it. The frequencies they project into the simulation field will be the boot to Watiko's arse. It cannot exist amid such vibration, which is why it spends 24/7 holding humanity fast in its vibration. Anyone who's attended the freedom marches and rallies around the world will know what I mean about vibration and frequency. These are less protests than the outpouring of love, joy, unity, mutual respect and support. They are expanded awareness on public display, and in such stark contrast to the abusive and fearful in their face-napped submission, who carry a dark cloud wherever they go, or it carries them. I feel this awakening energy with each new event, and it's getting stronger. I hear others who have felt these freedom vibrations across the world, from the streets of London to the streets of Ottawa, Vienna, Paris, Sydney, Wellington, Berlin, Amsterdam, and Rome. Researchers from Aarhus University in Denmark found that fake vaccinated people despise those who refuse to get the jab and held stereotypical inferences that the unfake vaccinated are untrustworthy and unintelligent, making the antipathy resemble prejudice towards other deviant groups. The study, which questioned 10,000 people from 21 countries, did not find the same attitudes by non-fake vaccinated about the fake vaccinated. They largely represent very different states of consciousness and frequency, and so very different attitudes. COVID zealots have now become permanent zealots, constantly in search of the latest cause. They have conceded their right to free thought. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. For others, hearts are opening from where love can burst forth from the heart vortex to override the delusions of brain and belly. In the face of Wetiko's fear, we must laugh and we must love. Wetiko, in its legendary insecurity, demands to be taken seriously, and we must laugh at its ridiculousness. The way to survive expressions of Wetiko is to know that you are dealing with the mind-controlled moronic and to laugh at the ludicrousness of it all. Taking it and them seriously pulls you into the madness. I'm finding it less and less possible to take any of this shit seriously. The simulation is a lunatic asylum because that's why it was created. But being in the asylum doesn't mean you have to be a lunatic. That can only happen when you take it seriously and believe it to be real. I've said for many years that if you were in an asylum, would you take it personally if inmates hurled abuse at you as you walked around? No, you'd say that is to be expected when they are not in control of their minds. Exactly. It's the same with planet Earth. Nothing disarms and disconcerts Wetiko more than not taking it seriously, not being intimidated, but instead finding its nonsense hilarious. Wetiko must enslave us with fear to survive, and we must deliver our fear-free love in return. When we do, we stop feeding the beast and empowering its inverted delusion. Love to Wetiko is as garlic to a vampire. Wetiko is terrified of uncertainty and any sequence with an outcome that it cannot control. This is why it seeks to control all sides in any situation. It is desperate for certainty of outcome. Observe how Wetikoed people, like the woke mentality, reflect this. They fear uncertainty and pursue the certainty of perceived safety, which means withdrawing into a risk-free cocoon policed by the state in exchange for freedom. Wetiko's insecurity comes from the fear of knowing. It can be found out at any moment and its game will be over. The fascist actions of Wetiko Trudeau in Canada were not expressions of strength. They are weakness, desperately seeking to survive. They were insecurity, thrashing out in fear. Watiko is fear. That's why fear is its energetic sustenance. Compared with love, it is powerless. Take love out, you have evil. Put love in, you have no evil. Open your heart, you have heaven. Close it, you have hell. Love beyond any version of the word that human minds can contemplate awaits in 5D and infinity. It has been patiently waiting all along for minds to awaken from their induced coma. The heart opening I have been saying would come for so long, that I was told about during my own awakening in 1990, is now here for unprecedented numbers in the simulation era. This is the reason those people are being targeted by the forces of schism and inversion. They seek to close our hearts with fear. We must not let them. And if we don't succumb, we shall prevail. The Nag Hammadi quote said of the Archon effect on humanity, quote, they closed their hearts. Researcher Paul Levy refers to Watiko as a frigid, icy heart devoid of mercy. Look at Schwab, Gates, Fauci, Witte, Trudeau, Freeland, Biden, Johnson, Macron, Draghi, Ardern, Morrison, ad infinitum. What do you see? Frigid, icy hearts devoid of mercy. Levy adds that the way to defeat evil is not to try to destroy it by playing Watiko's game. It is rather to find the invulnerable place within ourselves where evil cannot vanquish us. That place is love and 5D awareness. We should never forget that Watiko and its manifestations in form need us. We don't need them. Watiko, Yaldabaoth, Satan, Iblis and its cult are dependent on us to survive. Levy writes, quote, a vampire has no intrinsic, independent, substantial existence in its own right. It only exists in relation to us. The pathogenic, vampiric mind parasite called Watiko is nothing in itself. Not being able to exist from its own side. Yet it has a virtual reality such that it can potentially destroy our species. The fact that a vampire is not reflected by a mirror can also mean that what we need to see is that there's nothing, no thing to see other than ourselves. The fact that Watiko is the expression of something inside us means that the cure for Watiko is within us as well. The critical issue is finding this cure within us and then putting it into effect. End quote. The character in The Matrix, known as the Merovinian, says, it is remarkable how similar the pattern of love is to the pattern of insanity. The Merovinian is a symbolic agent of the Matrix, and so he would think that without experiencing love of the infinite kind and what love makes you do and stand for, it would appear to be insanity to Watiko. But this love is what holds infinity together. It's the foundation, the first and last of everything. Once you are touched by it and access its gifts of wisdom and knowing, you are never the same again. I know that is true. It touched me on a hill in Peru in 1990. We speak of the human spirit when we are really speaking of expanded awareness beyond human. We are capable of amazing creativity and acts of courage, determination, kindness, and love. We see it all the time amid the madness and self-destruction. These are all expressions of our natural state, our default position, love in its infinite sense. Watiko cannot stay where love reigns, and the entire foundation of its focus is to block the manifestation of love within its target hearts and minds. The realization that we are not human, but a state of expanded awareness trapped in the illusion of human, will trigger our conscious connection to who we really are. Love, simply love. We have been manipulated to forget that, and it's time to remember. What happens from here depends upon it. Love is not limited to attraction. In its true sense, it does not require attraction. Nor is love a word that ushers so easily from the lips, whether or not you mean it or understand it. People who have told me most often how much they love me and support my work have provided some of the biggest challenges to me and my work. And I have seen those who talk about love so full of hatred that they seek to destroy others. Words are easy. Love, in its purest form, is not so easy to express in a world that seeks its elimination. But we must seek to be that love, for it is who we really are. This love is not, I love you. It is, I love. This love is not the human love of mere attraction. It comes not from the groin, but the heart, which is our connection to the infinite love that we are. This love is without fear, for it knows there's nothing to fear. We are infinite forever, and we remain so no matter what our current experience may be. This love will always do what it knows to be right, and it will never be swayed from that by fear of consequences. To consider consequences is to consider not doing what you know to be right, and this love would never do that. This love is not to be felt. It is to be. It is not a feeling. It is a being, an isness. This love comes from a transformation of self-identity. Know that the body and the world of human is illusion. Hold that awareness always. Know that you are infinite consciousness and you will reconnect with the true I, love. The energy of worldwide freedom marches and events is so different because of this. Love is the energy, the being, the perception, the isness that will change our reality and return us to paradise. We only have to open our hearts and live what they tell us to live. Who am I? I am all that is, has been, and ever can be, having a brief experience called human. Who are you? The same. Live it, be it, and everything shall change. The end. Thanks for listening.